Had a great Christmas, I know we did. And now we're looking at 2023. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 40. If you're using the church Bible, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40 is on page 920. Don't worry, Pam's turning me down a little bit. It's kind of loud. Over the last 5 weeks, we've been celebrating Advent. Most of you have been here, and we're celebrating Jesus' first coming in the flesh, looking forward to the hope of his second coming, when he'll return and gather his people. Now, last Sunday, on Christmas Day, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, and all that that means to us as his followers. But what are we supposed to do after Christmas? Well, this morning we're going to look beyond Christmas. We're going to look at what we can and should be doing all year long in order to keep growing spiritually. And through that, make the most of these 365 days we have ahead of us. So we're going to read through Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And this passage starts off with Mary and Joseph taking the baby Jesus up to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him to the Lord in accordance to the law. So let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things that were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that though the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word and the ability to have that with us and to remind us of all that we need to know about you and about the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this reminder about faithfulness of Anna and how she stayed close to you throughout her sorrow, throughout her hard times. She stayed close to you in the temple, Father. We thank you for giving us this message this morning, again to remind us that we need to stay close to you, to remind us how we can have a great year in 2023. 2023 if we just stay focused on you. Father, we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. So for some, getting past Christmas means that now they can go back to focusing on themselves and what they want instead of focusing on others. And other people, they get so excited about Christmas that when all that excitement is gone, they have nothing left to look forward to, and then they feel let down. But for us, followers of Christ, these days after Christmas shouldn't be a letdown. They should be a launching point. Christ's birth wasn't a dismal ending. It was a glorious beginning. And it should be a glorious beginning for us in our lives as well. I mean, what a great time for us to hit the reset button. To start over. With all that's happened in 2022, maybe you haven't spent as much time with the Lord as you think you should have. Maybe you've backslid a little. Maybe you started doing that sin again that you thought you were over already. But even if you haven't done these things, this is still a great time to refocus our lives on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as you think about the new year ahead of us, you may be thinking, what now? What can I do to make the most of 2023? Well, making the most of this new year ahead of us, that means doing all we can to grow and maintain a healthy spiritual life. And when we look at the example set for us in our passage this morning, we can see four actions that we can take to help us to grow and maintain a healthy spiritual life. And the first one is stay close to the Lord in every situation. So let's look at the example Anna sets in verses 36 and 37. It says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers." So over her long life, Anna teaches us that we should stay as close to the Lord as possible, even when we're going through hard times. See, Anna knew all about sorrow. She had only been married 7 years when her husband died. And the Bible doesn't tell us what happened there. But however he died, we have to believe it must have broken Anna's heart. But Anna didn't make the tragic mistake that a lot of Christians make when something bad happens. She didn't pull away from God. Verse 37 says that she never left the temple. See, Anna stayed as close to the Lord as she possibly could. And you know, that's exactly what we should do. Even when we're going through times of hardship or times of sorrow. Open Doors, a ministry working with persecuted Christians around the globe, shared the following true story about a Muslim convert to Christ. And this is an interview with him and a journalist. Bagus, which is not his real name, but Bagus came to know Jesus in 2014 and was baptized the following year. And Bagus remembered well the reason he followed Christ. "It was because of my long, hard, and troubled life, ma'am." "So when you finally decided to follow him, your life wasn't troubled anymore?" "Not anymore, ma'am." "What did you do for a living then?" "I was a trash picker." "And what do you do now?" "I'm still a trash picker." By looking at the external circumstances of his life, it would be easy to conclude that his life had not improved. The journalist asked him, So how did you feel after following Jesus? Very different. I felt happy and restful, he replied. Bagus then quickly mentioned that he was a house church leader of 15 former Muslims in his village. The journalist also discovered that Bagus' life was far from untroubled as a follower of Christ. See, a villager had seen him sharing the story of Jesus with a neighbor and reported him to the village authorities. The authorities dragged him and 15 others to a paddy field and threatened to kill them unless they returned to Islam. Bagus refused. He remained true to his new faith. While his life was spared, he's now forced to live apart from his wife and children. He spends his days in the street. He can only see his family periodically. I've never regretted my decision to follow Jesus, he said without a hint of doubt. I'm following him wholeheartedly. So this man stood firm in his faith, even though it may have cost him his life. And it did make having a close relationship with his family impossible. He stayed close to the Lord in spite of the circumstances. And we see Anna in our passage. She stayed close to the Lord in spite of her sorrow. We need to stay close to the Lord in every situation, in the good times and the bad times. And the good news for us is that through Jesus Christ, we can get closer to God today than Anna ever dreamed of, even when she was looking into the face of the baby Jesus. We can get closer to God because of what Jesus has done for us. When he died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected from the dead, Jesus opened up a way for us to have a relationship with God the Father through him. As we talked about last week, Jesus is our high priest. He's always speaking to God the Father on our behalf. And Jesus understands our suffering. He understands what we're going through. He knows what it means to be tempted. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our high priest that knows what we're going through in every situation. And we can get closer to the Lord because we have his written word in our hands. And that written word tells us everything we need to know about him. We need to stay close to the Lord. And number two, we need to serve the Lord every way you can. And that's what Anna did. Anna served the Lord every way she possibly could. Verse 37 says, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. Now, there's no way for us to know the blessing that Anna received for her service, but we can see by her prayers that it was spiritual service. And that's the important thing, is prayer. We're going to go through a few more points here. I just want to remind you that every one of these points starts and ends with prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. So we can see by Anna's prayers that she was spiritually serving. And we can see in her fasting that it was sacrificial serving. Serving the Lord requires a sacrifice. And it was steady service. Anna served the Lord night and day for a long time. God blessed Anna with a very long life. And she made the most of her life. Anna served the Lord every way she could and as long as she possibly could. And one of the things we can learn from that is that we're never too old to serve the Lord. You know, one of the greatest ways that we can serve Him is by praying. Praying for those around us, praying for our fellow Christians, praying for the lost, praying for missionaries. That's one of the greatest ways we can serve Him. And we're never too old to pray. But there's an even bigger lesson here. And that is, we should serve the Lord while we can. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth. But we do know our time here is short. So we need to serve the Lord while we can, trusting Him to use our faithful service in ways that we may never know. Anna had no idea God would add her story to His Word. She had no idea that millions of people would be blessed by it. We never know how God's going to use us. And that's why everything we do should be done in service to Him. And that's why Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Everything we do should be done for Him. Richard Halverson, former pastor of the 4th Presbyterian Church in Bethesda, Maryland, and also the former chaplain of the United States Senate, used the following benediction at the end of each service for many years in his ministry. It reflects his deep conviction that his church was not only where the congregation met on Sundays, but it was also each place where they lived and worked throughout the week. He said, wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose for your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of His Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go on in His grace, His love, His power. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. That's how He ended every service. See, God can and will use your service in ways you can't even imagine. And the third action we see in this passage is trust God to surprise you with joy. Verse 38, at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of Him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. God loves to surprise His people with joy. Now, we have no idea what kind of day Anna was having when she walked across the temple court that day. I can only imagine at her age, she must have probably had some kind of pain. She must have had achy shoulders or a knee that hurt. Her eyesight might have been failing. She may have been lonely. Anna could have been carrying some heavy burdens that day. She had no idea of the wonderful things she was about to see. See, as Anna was going about her normal day, she ran right into the newborn Savior. Suddenly, Anna received a new burst of joy in her life. See, God made sure that she got there just in time to see Simeon take the baby Jesus in his arms. And remember what he said? Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. a light of your revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Anna was surprised by joy. And God will do the same thing for us. Maybe it's the joy of a new baby. Maybe it's the joy of some special time with friends. Maybe a good report from the doctor. God likes to surprise us with his joy, and it can come forth in the smallest things of life. But the deepest joy we can experience comes from our close encounters with God. It comes from those times when he allows us to see his hand at work. I believe God surprises us with joy to encourage us and strengthen us as we continue to serve him. Listen to what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10b. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And God wants to share his joy with us. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 16, verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. In his presence is the fullness of joy. We need to stay close to him. But what should we do with this joy? Well, we do the same thing that Anna did in verse 38. It says she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna shared her joy. She shared it with everyone she could. And that's what God wants us to do as well. Now, I know that we don't always feel joyful every day. But we should never give up on the joy of the Lord. He's always with us. And in those times when you're not feeling very joyful, get close to him. Get close to the Lord. Let him restore his joy in you. And then the last action we see is number 4. Strengthen your faith with spiritual growth. See, Jesus himself is our model for spiritual growth, as we see in verse 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God doesn't want us to get stuck in a spiritual rut. As long as we're in this world, he wants us to continue growing spiritually. God wants us to grow strong in his wisdom and in his grace. That's why Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15, and he, Christ, gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. See, God wants all Christians to grow spiritually. Are you growing? Pastor Peter Selwyn helps us to see if we're growing with these questions. These are questions we should ask ourselves periodically. The first one is, am I trying to grab things from God's hands, or are my hands relaxed and empty so so that I might receive. Do I shrink from painful experiences? Or do I welcome them, knowing that they will make me a more sensitive person? Am I so sure of God and His resources that I'm free from a demanding, over-concerned spirit? Is my goal to be happy or to be holy? Am I more concerned with getting pleasure out of God than I am with giving pleasure to God? Do I have a deep compassion and concern for the struggles of others? These are questions we should ask ourselves. But don't be discouraged if you can't see all of these attitudes at work in your life. Remember, it's a process. We're growing. We grow in grace. We should be growing in all of these areas. And the question we should ask ourselves is, am I? Am I growing in these areas? See, spiritual growth doesn't just happen once you're saved, even if you go to church regularly. Churches are filled with people who've attended for their entire lives and they're still spiritual babies. Spiritual growth isn't automatic. It doesn't just happen over time. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is pointing out in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Spiritual growth is intentional. Spiritual growth requires a commitment to grow. A person must want to grow. They must decide to grow. And they must make an effort to grow. See, discipleship begins with a decision. Make that commitment today if you haven't already. Don't let your life go into a spiritual rut. So how do we do that? How do we grow spiritually? Well, I'm just going to throw out three main requirements for spiritual growth. And remember, the first one is prayer. It's not in your notes, but prayer. Everything starts and ends with prayer. But the first one, A, is feed yourself on the Word of God. And you hear me say this over and over again. I don't think it can be overstated. Peter was telling his readers in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. See, one problem the Christians have today, and not just today, they've always had, is that they're starving themselves from God's Word. People aren't taking the time to read their Bibles at home. We shouldn't just be hearing the Word when we come to church on Sunday. We need to take in some of God's Word every day. And a good way to start your Bible reading every day, if you're not already doing this, is by reading a proverb. See, there are 31 proverbs, one for each day of the month. So you can start your reading by reading the corresponding proverb with that day of the month. Then that gets your mind focused in the right direction. Then go ahead and read a chapter or two in one of the books of the Bible you've decided to read through. This doesn't take a long time. It only takes about 10 or 15 minutes. So it's a good way to start reading your Bible every day if you're not already doing that. And pray. Pray about it. The second requirement for spiritual growth is prayer. And B, apply God's Word to your life. So reading the Bible every day, that's going to give you knowledge. But applying what you've read to your life, that's what leads to spiritual growth. And that's what James is referring to in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Now, some of the passages we read speak directly to us. It's not hard to see what they're teaching us. But others require a little more research. So what we need to do is we need to look at whatever passage we're reading and learn the context in which it was written. What I mean by that is, what did it mean to the people that it was originally written to? And when we understand the context of the passage, then we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to us today? What principle is there? And then we need to ask, how does it apply to my life? Is there a principle that I can see there that I can start living out in my life? And then when we learn how we can apply it to our lives, we need to actually do that. Not just read about it. We need to do it. And then the last requirement for spiritual growth is building relationships with other Christians. So in order to grow spiritually, we need to feed ourselves on God's word. We need to read the Bible. We need to apply the principles we find in Scripture to our everyday walking around lives. But we also need to realize that we cannot grow alone. Christians grow spiritually through fellowship with other Christians. That's why Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Christians need relationships in order to grow. Now, if a Christian is isolated from other believers, they either won't grow at all, or they may misunderstand some scripture, and they may unknowingly start moving away from God. That's why it's important to stay connected with other believers, and that's why we offer our small groups. Because it's important to build relationships with other believers. That way we can help each other understand Scripture and learn from each other's experiences. We need each other in order to grow spiritually. Christmas is over. But don't let that be an end for you. Make it a new beginning. Make the most out of 2023 by staying close to the Lord in every situation, by serving the Lord every way you can, by trusting God to surprise you with joy, and by strengthening your faith with spiritual growth. I just want to leave you with what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every prompting you give us to not just sit idle, to always continue to grow. We thank you for what we see in this passage, the examples that you set for us on how to serve you, how we can grow, and how we can make the most of 2023, the year ahead of us, and each and every day. Father, we thank you for caring about every situation we're in. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we stay focused on you and make the most out of this coming year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.